check. Did Sally Yates lie during her speech last night at the Democrat National Convention? We'll talk about that and victories on behalf of parents and students the ACLJ has already secured because of your support. We'll talk about that today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So I guess we can come to expect this with the virtual, some pre-taped, some live Democrat National Convention this week. Now, tonight I expect a bigger night. I think last night was probably the worst night so far, if you were even paying attention. And you know, with this only 1 hour of coverage on the main news channels, kind of broadcast news channels, I'm thinking this is not going to be moving the needle a lot, and that really hurts the challenger. The incumbent, not so much if it's the same way next week, but the challenger needs the boost from this. Biden did not get a boost from Kamala Harris. He actually went down in the polls and now is in a statistical dead heat in every battleground state and nationally, even in those national polls. And that was the CNN poll. But last night they let Sally Yates and maybe Jill Biden, it was kind of hard to tell if she was live or not, but Sally Yates certainly was. Remember, she's former acting attorney general. She was fired by President Trump for refusing to enforce the law. But she lied about why she was fired last night to the American people who were paying attention. So if you didn't see this because it wasn't in that primetime hour, you got to take a listen. Remember, this is the same Sally Yates who's been testifying under oath about her role in unmasking and the potential illegal activities surrounding Mike Flynn. Take a listen. This is Sally Yates addressing the nation last night at the Democrat National Virtual Convention.
I served as Deputy Attorney General in the Obama-Biden administration and stayed on as Acting Attorney General for the Trump transition. Then, 10 days in, I was fired for refusing to defend President Trump's shameful and unlawful Muslim travel ban. That was the start of his relentless attacks on our democratic institutions and countless dedicated public servants.
You know, again, that is an outright lie. It is an outright lie because why? She refused to enforce a duly enacted executive order. The executive order was challenged in court. And guess what? The Supreme Court decided the executive order was legal. She got fired for refusing to enforce the law.
Yeah.
And now she's still dead. She lied yet again. She lied about why she was fired. She called it unlawful. So is she now, Sally Yates, who I think, by the way, by putting her out there, is a potential, is Joe Biden saying this could be someone who I put in the position of Attorney General. Remember, he trusts her. She was in the Oval Office meeting with Comey and Strzok and getting briefed on the Flynn matter and all of the unmasking and the FBI agents going, all of that stuff, the spying on the Trump campaign. And yet she lies about why she's fired, then call something the Supreme Court has said is lawful, unlawful to the American people, which is a lie. And now, Dad, we have bans going on all around the country because of COVID. Is she saying those are unlawful?
I guess she is, but here's the
thing.
Don't
want her as AG.
She said that she was fired because she refused to enforce the unconstitutional order that the Supreme Court of the United States held was constitutional. Repeat. She said she was fired because of her refusal to enforce a duly authorized executive order from the President of the United States, and she said that order was unconstitutional. She became the Supreme Court. She was wrong. The Supreme Court said it was constitutional. Andy Economo is going to be joining us right after the break, so will Than Bennett. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that by going to ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org, our matching challenge campaign. If you're able, and only if you're able, support the work of the ACLJ. And do it today. Jordan will let you know more how to do it.
First, if you have calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're taking your calls. We're live on the air. 1-800-684-3110. Big night for the DNC tonight with Kamala Harris taking the main stage. Will she be live? Is a question. And Barack Obama. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation. We've got a lot of victories to report on that school matter when we come back at ACLJ.org. Donate.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Now, in a minute, we've got an update, and I think it's a pretty tremendous update because we've only been working on this for a few weeks, and we had, you know, over 1,800 families contact the ACLJ, so our attorneys have been hard at work. We provide all those services absolutely free who are facing hardships because of these school reopenings or virtual schools or shutdowns of charter schools that aren't even allowed to do virtual programming. A lot of special needs children, children who can't afford the technology to do virtual learning at home. And we've already got victories to report on this. Victories, you know, oftentimes you have lawyers like us, you go to the school board, they don't want to go to court against us.
Right.
They want to handle the situation the best possible. Now, sometimes you get the other states and it looks like in some we may be having to go to court, and I think absolutely on some matters we will. But you want to resolve things as quickly as possible for these students. If you don't have to go to court, that's best. Going to court takes much longer. So we'll report on those victories. We can do that work because of your support of the ACLJ. Because you support us through the July Matching Challenge and you're supporting us through this August Matching Challenge. We were ready for the 1,800 families who contact us at aclj.org/help. And I will tell you, folks, that's just on this issue. We still get about 300 or 400 other contacts a week of people who need legal assistance from the ACLJ. So we were prepared to do it because you donated to the ACLJ during July's Matching Challenge and during this month's August Matching Challenge. And it's a great time because you're doubling the impact of your donation. When you donate online, you double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. And it's why also when someone like Sally Yates addresses the DNC last night, not only are we talking about her lie, we were directly involved. We filed, Dad, at the Supreme Court, a brief, and this was an ACLJ brief, not done because you're the president's attorney, ACLJ brief on behalf of our members, saying the president is right, Sally Yates, you're wrong. And that, Dad, the Supreme Court agrees with us.
So first, let me show the brief. Here's the brief. This is the brief that the American Center for Law and Justice filed in the case. So that brief was filed, supporting the position of the president that the executive order was constitutional. Here's Sally Yates last night. This is what she said. This is why she was fired. This is what she said.
I served as Deputy Attorney General in the Obama-Biden administration and stayed on as Acting Attorney General for the Trump transition. Then, 10 days in, I was fired for refusing to defend President Trump's shameful and unlawful Muslim travel ban. That was the start of his relentless attacks on our democratic institutions and countless dedicated public servants.
Here's what John Roberts, Chief Justice of the United States said, under the Immigration and Nationality Act, foreign nationals seeking entry into the United States undergo a vetting process to ensure that they satisfy the numerous requirements for admission. The act also vests the president with authority to restrict the entry of aliens who whenever. So he can restrict aliens whenever he finds that their entry, quote, would be detrimental to the interests of the United States. That, Andy, is from the opinion of John Roberts. So Sally Yates decides that the matter is unconstitutional, right? But, and this is important, the Supreme Court said exactly the opposite. So she wasn't fired because she was not enforcing an unconstitutional order. She was fired for insubordination.
That's exactly right, Jay. She decided that she knew better than the President of the United States, than the Office of Legal Counsel. So she sends out a memo to all the employees of the Department of Justice having the temerity to tell them not to enforce and not to abide by the president's travel restrictions from unvetted aliens. And she sends this out in violation of the president's order. Instead of saying, as she should have done, that I resign my position because I cannot in good conscience do thus and so, she violates the order. She is greater and smarter than the Supreme Court of the United States. And she stood up there last night with her manicured fingernails and her razor-cut hairdo, you know, who came from a privileged family in Atlanta, the Quillians, whose father was on the Court of Appeals and of Georgia, you know, and went. She never stood in line at a Grady Charity Hospital. She never slept under the bridge at Bell Street. Sally Yates, if you're listening, you know where that is. No, she went to Northside Hospital or Piedmont Hospital. She was the privileged rich, and she knows better than all of us who live in Atlanta as to what needs to be done. And she stands up there in her smug, lucrative office at King and Spalding now and pontificates. And what she's doing, Jay, is she's really interviewing to be the next Attorney General, God forbid, of the United States.
No, there is. Than, is there any question? I was going to go to Jordan, too, but Than first. Is there any question in your mind that this is all about the Supreme Court?
All about the Supreme Court, maybe about her position as Attorney General, because, Jay, I do definitely think
Attorney General. Yeah.
I think she would be the Attorney General in a Biden administration, and it's not just about this. It's about the fact that a President Biden would have to keep those who were close to him in the unmasking scandal close as well. Remember, Jay, only two officials were invited to stay behind with the President, President Obama and Vice President Biden. It was Jim Comey. We know the problems that he has, and Sally Yates, of all people. And, Jay, the other thing that she knows, the Trump administration underwent a review of countries to see who would end up in this ban. But while that review was starting, what list did they start with? Who conducted the review of the countries that they started with? It was the Obama administration, that Sally Yates served. So she knew, Jay, that this was a lawful order. She just refused to enforce the law. That would be your next Attorney General.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you go back to it and you hear her follow-up too, which I think is clear to play, that we need everybody to understand. Like, she's explaining, you know, that I don't work for the president. I don't do this and that. But you do, we can have that debate, by the way, because you can be hired and fired. You do work for the president.
Of course.
And you are supposed to carry out the laws and the executive orders of the president. And then especially when the Supreme Court says you're wrong. And so stop calling it unlawful, Sally Yates. You can say you disagree with it. Say you disagree with the Supreme Court. We do that all the time. But to call it unlawful is saying that, you know, the president did something wrong, and the Supreme Court, I guess. John Roberts is breaking the law, in the words of Sally Yates. Have fun, Sally Yates, sending your SG up before John Roberts if you ever, which I don't think you will, become the Attorney General because you called him, I guess, someone who is enforcing a law that's unlawful. I don't know. But listen to her follow-up, too. This is the kind of people Joe Biden wants to surround himself with. Take a listen.
Like me, these officials didn't swear an oath to a person or a party. Public servants promised to defend our Constitution, uphold our laws, and work on behalf of the American people. But from the moment President Trump took office, he's used his position to benefit himself rather than our country. He's trampled the rule of law, trying to weaponize our Justice Department to attack his enemies and protect his friends.
So, Andy, this is her interview she's doing. This is her great grand debut of her, you know, this is what I will do as Attorney General line. But what I find so offensive about it, frankly, is this idea when she tries to equate an executive order, which the Supreme Court holds to be constitutional, and say it's law-breaking, and then makes these generalized political statements about the president, primarily because she disagrees with the policy decisions that are being made.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. What she's doing is making her own decision as to what is right and what is wrong in violation of our separation of powers and our Constitution that says, that's not your decision, Deputy Attorney General. That's the decision of the President of the United States, who has been empowered by the Supreme Court in a decision written by the Chief Justice to do exactly what he did in the travel ban. This is the kind of an Attorney General you're going to get. You talk about trampling the rule of law and weaponizing the Justice Department. Don't you think they're going to get in there if they ever have the chance to and do the exact same thing that they're claiming the president unlawfully has done, and that is weaponize the Justice Department to serve a liberal left-wing agenda? She prosecuted more black officials in the city of Atlanta than any other United States attorney, and she has the temerity to go up there now and to paint herself as a Democrat and to say that she is in favor of the Democrat administration, when what she did was attack the black officials in the city of Atlanta from the day she became the United States Attorney for the Northern District of Georgia. She has changed her spots considerably and is now interviewing to become the next Attorney General of the United States. She's been put in the forefront. She lies about the Supreme Court. She's a hypocrite. She's two-faced.
I was going to ask this to Jordan Thann really quickly. Thann first. Watching the last 2 days of the convention, what's your initial thoughts?
I think they're in trouble. I think Joe Biden is in trouble for this very reason. I mean, Jordan mentioned this poll a couple of days ago, Jay. Yep. 6 in 10 Americans are making their decision based on Donald Trump. The candidate with the eyeballs and the attention wins every single election, whether it's a positive or negative view. That candidate right now is Donald Trump, and I don't think this week moves the needle.
Here's the problem. And this is, I've been very open and honest, and I mean, could say to my outside role, I'm still representing the president. So I'm going to be open and honest about this. 2-3 weeks ago, I was a lot more nervous. Then with the VP choice, I was, interested, would it do anything? And then who would it be? Someone interesting? It wasn't. It was someone who couldn't get through the primary process and actually called Joe Biden horrible. They basically called him a racist. And she got no bump. In fact, the poll that came out after Kamala Harris being announced showed now it's a complete tie in every battleground and even in the national poll. And this 1 hour a night, this is not reaching independent voters. They're not being persuaded by pre-recorded stories. That's my takeaway, is that they know they're in serious trouble.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
we're going to get into some of our victories on the school issue. I mean, we're assisting right now over 1,500, close to 1,800, I think, and that number keeps growing. And some, of course, we're able to assist quickly. We're able to provide information to. Some, it's more aggrieved. They're just upset taxpayers, so that's not going to be someone we represent in a court or before a school board. But we do have already victories to report, so we're going to talk about those in a minute. But I can't let this go by within the first half hour without mentioning this. So Jim Comey sends out a tweet yesterday. It's about the 19th Amendment. There's a history. If you early voted, you might have gotten. I took my daughter, so we both got the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, the women's suffrage, the women's right to vote. That's wonderful. And he tweeted out a photo of himself wearing a T-shirt that says, "Elect more women." That's Jim Comey's tweet you see if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope below. Well, Hillary Clinton thought that was hilarious. So she trolled him. And I got to say, it was a pretty good troll.
What is trolling? Explain to
you
the
know,
nine.
When she kind of took his joke and kind of said, first of all, like everybody says about Jim Comey. And it's
always about Jim Comey.
It's actually from Hillary Clinton when she was on Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. And she's making this just kind of like, huh, face, looking down at this elect more women. Because remember, we've said all along, not only did he interfere with President Trump, he interfered with Hillary Clinton too.
Yeah,
came out
opening
early.
Closing it, reopening it.
Which kind of benefited her and hurt Trump. And then came out 3 days before the election and reopened it again over what turned out to be nothing. But I wrote this. Here's what I thought was important. I think Hillary Clinton was a funny troll. But remember, and if you're not, you don't see the screen. The Democrats, including Hillary Clinton, did not accept firing Comey as legitimate. And that's what started and kept going, the Russia hoax. Then we got Mueller.
Right.
And then we got a partisan impeachment. So while this is funny, what's not funny to me is that everyone knew Jim Comey should be fired. He was a bad FBI director. Hillary Clinton would have fired him. Donald Trump did. Either president from either party. But Donald Trump had to go through hell with Mueller and special counsel and then impeachment because of this guy with elect more women.
Yeah, Jim Comey.
So it's a funny troll, but again, it just reminds you, Democrat Party is in a bizarre place.
Listen, Jim Comey, and I want Andy to address this
too. And Hillary's
speaking
tonight.
Jim Comey is a bad actor. He was a bad FBI director. He allowed under his watch, or directed, worse, unbelievable acts that were detrimental to the interests of the United States of America. Let me be clear. He allowed or directed, under his watch, actions that were detrimental to the United States of America. And then he does these, he tries to be cute on these tweets that he sends out. But Andy, this was a bad actor who put in motion a coup against the president of the United States.
That's exactly right. Why don't we just say what Lindsey Graham asked Sally Yates? Was he a rogue? And she said, yes, he was a rogue. Someone running off on his own, doing whatever he thinks that he wanted to do to protect himself and to promote his own cause. So Sally Yates was his great supporter. And then she signs off on an affidavit to the FISA court and based upon information that Comey and his crew gave her and lied to a federal judge to get a surveillance on an American citizen. So even Sally Yates thinks James Comey is a rogue and calls him a rogue.
I'm going to go ahead and play that bite when we have it. We're pulling that bite up right now because I think it's important. So you had Sally Yates yesterday, kind of as the primary speaker, or one of the primary speakers, with Bill Clinton. Then you had James Comey, as Jordan just said, putting out this tweet. And what do you think his reference was there, Jordan?
Well, it was the history of the 19th Amendment. Right now, if you're early voting, it's the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage. I got the sticker when I early voted. I brought my daughter, she's 4 years old. She got the sticker. I got to explain to her what it was about. So he's wearing this shirt, which he's become an activist now, elect more women. And Hillary Clinton just commented on his tweet with just a photo of herself looking down at this. It was just kind of a smirking face. And then I said, this is all fun and good. I think it was funny by Hillary Clinton, who's speaking tonight at the DNC. Said, by the way, she would like to come back to government.
It'd be interesting to see what that means.
I mean, is he going to basically bring in all the trustworthy act? See, if Biden wins, he brings in. That's why I think he's such a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
He is too old to really be running the country, I think, at 78. So he's going to be bringing in all those trusted actors, Yates, Clintons, Susan Rice types, they're all going to be there.
Yeah.
They're going to be running it. And if you thought the Obama years were bad, just wait and see, because I think Obama, he was more toned down than what this group would do.
Yeah, look, you vote for whoever you want for. It's a free country. We're just pointing out the policies. Yeah, we're pointing out the policies. Now, I want to play the Sally Yates statement about Jim Comey and then get Andy to respond, because Andy raises. Go ahead, let's play it.
Did Comey go rogue?
You could use that term, yes.
So, how much clearer could that be?
There it is. I mean, you know, did Comey go rogue? Yes, you could use that term. Of course you could use that term, because that's what he did. And he was the director of the FBI. And who did he report to, Jay? He reported directly to the Deputy Attorney General. Okay? So the President of the United States, finally, Donald Trump, decides to get rid of him, something that Obama was scared to death to do because of what he had on Obama, or Sally Yates would never do because of what he had on her. So this is, and I love Jordan's analogy of the Trojan horse. If you have, because I'm Greek and I understand the Trojan War, if you have Joe Biden as president, you have an empty shell carrying with him Ocasio-Cortez, Hillary Clinton, Sally Yates, keep going. All the left-wing radicals are going to be brought into the White House, because he don't know what he's doing, that's for sure, and he's going to bring in his troop of leftists who will run this country. You're going to go back to those years real quickly.
So I just want to go through, as we go into this first break, and we're going to continue talking about Yates, the DNC.
This is the reason why you support the ACLJ, what Jordan's going through.
And we're going to have a blog on this soon so you can read through it with your friends, because I can't get through all of them. But this is just some of the victories we have had on behalf of students that these parents have been contacting us. And, you know, we do this at no cost, folks. So I'll start off just in Georgia. We had a victory where we helped a disabled parent with two sons. They needed laptops to do the virtual learning. The ACLJ sent a letter to the school after the parent's original request. So when the parents sent in their request, no answer from the school. ACLJ sent a letter at no cost to this family. And the school has provided the parents laptops for each of the children.
That is
a big
deal.
Do you see what it means? When people say get a lawyer, it's always, that's how you get things done. The good thing about the ACLJ, you can get a lawyer at the ACLJ, and it doesn't cost you anything. That's how we can help these disabled parents with two sons. So they got the laptops. Their initial request to the school went unanswered until the ACLJ got involved. Another example, ACLJ helped a single mother as well as other families from Texas and California whose children didn't have computers needed for distance learning. In these instances, we reached out to the school to determine whether the school was providing computers and made sure these families could find and fill out all of the correct documents, which were not put in one place easily by the school. So now, kids in Texas, California, and Georgia who didn't have the technology to do virtual learning have it. They would not have had it without your support of the ACLJ.
Let me say this, folks.
There's a lot more to talk about.
Whether it's this broadcast coming to you each and every day on radio and TV, 5 days a week, or whether it is the 1,800 families that we're trying to offer, we are offering legal assistance to and already getting victories, your support of the ACLJ keeps all of this happening in the United States and around the globe. Let me encourage you right now to go to ACLJ.org, and whatever amount you donate, not only is it tax deductible, it's matched. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So tonight will be night three of the DNC. What to expect? Well, remember, you only get probably an hour of coverage of this. So all the names I'm listed, we don't know what order they'll be. And I have a feeling Nancy Pelosi, I wonder if they'll put her in that real full hour or not. Who knows? We also don't know what will be live and what will not. For last night, we realized at least Sally Yates was live and lying. But she was live from Atlanta. Couldn't really tell if Jill Biden was. It was kind of like, it was a little difficult. There was a little stumble, which makes me think it wasn't like something they did a bunch. The lighting wasn't perfect. It's possible that was live, and so maybe they're doing two lives.
No, it was a good
I'm not
going
to attack the candidate's wife like they will to Melania, by the way. Of course, they will. Liberals media on the other side that are like us, they'll go after her speech. I'm not going to do that to Jill Biden. She's the wife of the candidate, even though I disagree strongly with some of the things she said. She's not the person that's getting elected. She's not on the ballot. But so tonight you get Kamala Harris. So this is big for her, if anyone's watching, because she really has had these very small events before. She's never gotten this much time at network coverage, even though it isn't only an hour. But this is an issue I think she's got.
Yep.
Barack Obama goes before her.
Yeah.
This guy, you can put him on Zoom, and he's still in incredible order.
Yeah.
I thought Michelle Obama was not so great in that situation, but Barack Obama on Zoom is still incredible as an order. And she's got Hillary Clinton, who doesn't always come across great, but is a pro.
So
and Elizabeth Warren, another one, who's a pro. And then you see, so after all those people, does Kamala Harris match up to be the one who should be, obviously the former president wouldn't be.
Does she meet the expectations?
I don't think she has.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably right. But let's do this. I want to go to Andy first, then Than. Andy, I'm making you watch the convention, I have to say.
Yes, you forced me.
You wanted to take a nap while it was going on last night, and I said, I think I told your wife, get him up and get him watching. His favorite Sally Yates is coming up. What's your impression so far?
Well, my impression that it's an unwatchable event because it goes from live to taped. It goes from one scene in someone's bedroom or bathroom to a scene, on the porch of somebody's house. It's an unwatchable event. It is uninspiring, of course. You might say that I have an inclination not to like it. But I did watch Sally Yates because I was interested in hearing what she had to say, particularly because I know her. I know the Quillians. I know the Yates. And I know what her agenda is. And her agenda is to do anything she can to trample on the president of the United States, who justifiably fired her for failing to abide by an order that had been found by the Office of Legal Counsel to be correct, and we're talking about the travel restriction order, and that subsequently was upheld by the Supreme Court of the United States. So I wanted to see how she was going to get around that. And she says, 10 days into my president and to my being the deputy attorney general, I was fired for this unlawful and unjust order, putting on a little bit of a southern accent so that we'll all ingratiate ourselves to her. Nonsense and baloney. I know the real Sally Yates, and if she could, she'd cut your throat.
Okay, I think we have Andy's position.
Listen, here's what I think Andy's trying to put across, though, is remember the kind of henchman, because I use the word because what Attorney General Barr has been called.
He's not.
Holder, henchman. For Obama. I mean, this guy would do anything for him. Covered up everything. Fast and furious. Think about Susan Rice. Henchman. Gave up a being confirmed to be Secretary of State because she went out and lied on Benghazi. Because she did it for the president. He's bringing all the henchmen back in. And so Andy said, when he said they'll cut your throat. Yeah, this team will. They talk a lot about how tough the Trump team is. They're tough in a legal sense. This other team is tough, like Chicago politics, and Biden, he's like the Trojan horse. He's like being taken over by Chicago politics. I guess Delaware politics is not, going to really be running the show.
Dan, we're going to do this when we come back, but quickly, AOC doesn't mention Joe Biden in her speech.
Oops, maybe she wasn't willing to, Jay. I mean, I know it was a formality, but she could have inserted his name if she wanted to.
That was a big thing. I will talk about that when we come back from the break. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge campaign. More than halfway through at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I want to take a phone call, and then we're going to get into what you mentioned now, which was AOC. She was already unhappy because she was actually, the way they portrayed it too, I mean, I have the list, like she was going to be a speaker. She was one of the nominators, okay? So she got a minute because she was one of the nominators.
Bernie Sanders.
And she nominated Bernie Sanders, but she wasn't actually a speaker. There were people doing that from, you know, the Caribbean that were nominating. And that's, by the way, not the country doing that. That's the party within the country doing that, the Democrat Party in like the U.S. Virgin Islands doing that. That's what she got. She did not get a speaking role. But even though it was pre-taped, she figured out a way to not say anything about Joe Biden. So we'll get to that in a second, but I do want to take these calls on Yates, Dad, that people have been holding on.
Yep.
Scott in Colorado, first line. One, if you want to talk to us on air, too, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Okay, Jordan, Jay, and Andy, thank you for my call. So, yeah, my question is, why would a President Trump keep a Sally Yates, or what did he see in her, even in the transition when Democrats in administration changes have no conscience in cleaning out the barn, putting their own people in? It seems like Republicans are you know, want to appear to be good guys a little bit more often and maybe afraid of criticism, but it often comes back to bite them.
I mean, normally, you and this is not the only president that's done this, they'll keep certain officials in place during the transition time after they've been sworn in before the person that's going to replace is confirmed, because right. You have to have someone confirmed usually in that office,
which can take
or
weeks.
You take the deputy attorney general. So that's the normal way it's done.
It is always the normal way. And it just so happened that we were dealing with this terrorism and controversial issues right off the bat.
Yeah.
But normally, remember, you don't just, because you became president, you're attorney general, you get then to nominate, and then they have to go through the confirmation process at the Judiciary Committee and yep. then the full vote in the Senate. So Sessions wasn't available yet, and so you have to use those who can rise up to the top. And by the way, she took the role. She didn't say, I won't, she didn't have to take the role.
I've got
she
a
took
question
the role,
on that.
But I think she took the role to try and find a way
yes.
to make a name for herself.
Or no covering one, the tracks of stuff that took
Sally
place
Yates
under her watch.
Until she did that? No. She was kind of like a Jim Comey. Until she started pulling these moves, no one had even heard of her.
Yeah, so that's not an unusual move. Then I got a question for Andy.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Sally Yates said it herself. It was 10 days in. So we're talking extremely, extremely early. I would not say that the administration did not move quickly. That said, Jay, I do think there's a lesson here to be learned. I do think, well, we've said it on this broadcast many times, personnel is policy when it comes to these types of decisions. So I think new administration should be more aggressive in moving people through. One other thing I'd mention, Jay, I think there's a very clear reason why Sally Yates is so voicing such a loud opinion about Joe Biden being the next president. Jay, it's because this attorney general, the current one, has John Bash looking at the unmasking. One of the individuals he's clearly looking at is Sally Yates. That this is a way to, for her to put that to an end.
Well, I think that's, I think you're 100% correct. And but Andy, it goes back to something deeper. I was wondering, and this is just, you know, conjecture on my part. She could have easily said, "I will not serve under Donald Trump." She didn't say that.
That's exactly right. She could have said, "I'm not going to serve under a person who is lawless, who is shameful, who does shameful and lawless acts." But she is an opportunist, Jay. She is an opportunist, and she saw this as an opportunity to possibly ingratiate herself with the administration. And don't put it past her to think that maybe she could stay on as deputy attorney general in some capacity. She is a lizard. She is a chameleon. She changes with whoever has to, you know, be in power at the time. And she did it, obviously, in an effort to ingratiate herself with the president. Finally, she sees that this president is not going to keep her, and she turns on him. He issues an executive order, and she then has the gall to tell the members of the Department of Justice, don't abide by the president's order. Who are you to say that? You know better than the Office of Legal Counsel. You know better than the Supreme Court of the United States. So he does with the only thing that he could possibly do. He goes to the Office of Personnel and terminates her.
Yeah, it's interesting because he, and then James Comey goes around Sally Yates to get done what he wants to get done. So that's what is so bizarre. Now, there was another thing, Jordan, last night, and that was Alexandria Cortez made her supposed to be, they pitched it as a speech.
They did, yeah, and she did too, by the way. And she knew it wasn't, and she was complaining I only got 60 seconds. Yet they also, they put her up on the poster like she was going to be a speaker. They didn't put anybody else who just nominated someone on a poster. So she got her 1 minute, which was longer than most people got who nominated, who did the official nomination.
I need to say this, though. Let me tell you something. Don't underestimate her oratory skills.
Oh, yeah.
She has very good oratory skills. Although, those oratory skills did not include endorsing Joe Biden to be president of the United States.
Nope.
You want to play it?
Yeah, let's play it.
In a time when millions of people in the United States are looking for deep, systemic solutions to our crises of mass evictions, unemployment, and lack of health care, in el espíritu del pueblo and out of a love for all people, I hereby second the nomination of Senator Bernard Sanders of Vermont for president of the United States of America.
So what would have been interesting, she could have said, "I second that," because that was her role, but then she should have said, or could have said, "But of course, I support wholeheartedly the campaign of Vice President Biden to be the next president of the United States," which of course she didn't say. So then am I reading too much into it?
No. Joe Biden has been trying as hard as he can to win the left edge of his party, represented by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And how has he succeeded in that, Jay? Apparently not even enough for her to utter his name. And by the way, and Jordan can speak to this from his past campaign experience, that hard move to the left from Joe Biden is going to cost him dearly in states that he's got to win across the Rust Belt. If he has more trouble across the Rust Belt and without picking up the base that's represented by AOC, that's a disaster politically.
Right. So he's already now in a dead heat with President Trump, if you believe the polls. These were the same polls that showed him with like an 11-point lead. Now, to me, what we learned from the last election cycle is that President Trump underpolls. So if the polling from CNN is showing a dead heat even after the announcement of Kamala Harris, and it'll be interesting to see what happens after the convention. I don't expect much to change. And I'm not sure much will change after the Republican one, though. The Republicans are getting to see how bad this is being done and have time to say, okay, let's do this, that, let's make sure we don't look like that. We know we have this hour. Let's use it as effectively as possible. So again, they do benefit from going second. But we know Donald Trump under polls. So if he's in a dead heat in a CNN poll, he's crushing Joe Biden right now. Now, turnout is going to be very important with COVID.
Yeah.
Turnout. I was involved in a primary election in Tennessee. It was all about turnout. If COVID wasn't an issue, COVID wasn't an issue, there wasn't even like a race for the, in the primary. But because of COVID, there suddenly became a race because of questions. You couldn't just rely on polls saying, oh, you've got a 20% lead, because you didn't know if the 60-plus-year-old voters who are vote every single election, and that's Republicans are much better voters. We show up. There's less of us registered. You know, if all the Democrats showed up at every election that are registered Democrats, we'd lose every election. Republicans would lose. Conservatives would lose. But a lot of those Republican voters are in those categories. They need to be looking at absentee ballots, I think. And, you know, in 34 states, you don't even need a reason. You could just request one now. So if you have a pre-existing condition, make sure you're doing that. You got to be doing that like now, by the way, folks.
Exactly.
Because it's all going to be turnout. And I think if the turnout levels are high on the Trump side, Joe Biden has no chance, because if traditionally, that's why they want to mail ballots to everybody, even though you may not have lived at that address for 20 years, Democrats don't show up. They showed up, especially like black voters, they showed up for Barack Obama in ways that were unbelievable. Joe Biden benefited from that, and Democrats did, but I don't think he's the type they do.
I think Jordan's right. Andy, I wanted to ask you this as we go into this next break. And last segment, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. But, you know, one of the things Sally Yates said was that she was fired for refusing to defend President Trump's shameful, that's her opinion, and unlawful Muslim travel ban. But the ban was not considered unlawful. I mean, it's a completely false statement by Sally Yates.
That is a false statement. It was a lie, and she know it was a lie. The Supreme Court, first of all, Jay, the president went to the Office of Legal Counsel of the Department of Justice and got an opinion that what he was doing was within the power of the executive to do. Okay, that's number one. The Justice Department Office of Legal Counsel said it was lawful. The president then executed the order. He then sent out that order to the Justice Department, which he has the right to do, and said, enforce it. She decides against the president and Office of Legal Counsel's opinion, no, I'm not going to enforce this thing. Instead of resigning and saying I can't in good conscience do it, she countermands the president's order. And ultimately, the Supreme Court of the United States says it is constitutional and it is within the purview of the president's power. So she's wrong on every step.
Let me tell you something, folks. We were involved in that case. The ACLJ, not just the president's lawyers, the ACLJ representing you. You're part of the reason why that Supreme Court decided it's Sally Yates lied last night. President Trump acted lawfully. The executive order was lawful, and the Supreme Court and Chief Justice Roberts agreed. We're going to have a blog up about this on ACLJ.org. You should share it with your friends and family. We can't let people get away with lies when they're speaking out to so many people, even though they're down 25% in ratings. We can do all this because of your support of the ACLJ. Doubly impact your donation today at ACLJ.org. It's a matching challenge month.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live, this is Jordan Sekulow. Let me go through a few more of these school victories, then we'll get back to the DNC discussion as well. Of course, we'll cover the RNC.
By the way, can I say something to our staff? Because I know we've got all of our lawyers are working on these cases. When you have 1,800 requests for assistance, you get a lot of...
From the most senior attorneys to the most junior.
Yes. I mean, from the lawyers you see on this broadcast to lawyers you don't even know we have been working. I communicated yesterday with Abby Sutherland. She's handling a lot of the cases in the Southeast, and she's had some really good results, which are great. But she says it's hard. You know, I could read you her text, her email, because and it's true. These are really heartbreaking cases. She said this is what she wrote: so many parents are overwhelmed and in hopeless situations. My heart goes out to them, hoping we receive a positive result from some of the larger counties in Georgia that we plan to reach out to. There's simply no excuse for leaving these children behind, even amidst a pandemic. So our lawyers are getting, and Abby has gotten some great results, but Andy, she's waiting on some of those bigger counties in Georgia, like Gwinnett, where we have some contacts. I'm hopeful that we're going to get some resolution from some of the bigger counties. They're trying to figure out what to do, too.
Yes, they are. The school boards are in difficult positions. They want to do the right thing. My former law partner's wife is on a school board in Gwinnett County, and she's working very hard. She's received 1,000 phone calls. They're trying to do the right thing, and we're assisting them in trying to do the right thing. We're not bringing lawsuits against them in a vicious and contentious way, but we're trying to say, look, help us out, help these parents out. And whenever the ACLJ steps in, we do get results, and I think that's a good sign for the ACLJ. It helps the parents, and most of all, it helps the students.
Yeah, I was talking to a Washington Times reporter just yesterday, and I said, you know, our first step here, as Andy said, is always to go to the school board to give them the opportunity, or if it's the superintendent or the state superintendent or even the governor's office, to give them the opportunity to do the right thing that maybe they weren't aware of the issues they're dealing with a lot right now. So you want to be able to resolve these matters because it gets the help to the students much quicker than court. But I will tell you, in every letter that we send out, we tell them, you better start preserving all of your documents, because if you are not going to work in good faith with us, we are ready to go to court if necessary. And there are some, you'll see in our blog, where we are potentially going to be taking legal action. One of those is in Oregon, because Oregon shut down all charter schools, not just because they were trying to do in-person, they weren't. All charter schools, virtual learning. So if your student was enrolled in a public charter school, they shut down their virtual learning. Okay, so this would not be a lawsuit about childcare costs for the virtual learning or technology for the virtual learning. It would just be about the kids being able to get the virtual learning from the public school they went to. So we are looking right now, I can tell you, that's one that may be absolutely going to court. There's some others in the Northeast that may be going to court. But here's another, some just examples. The ACLJ has been working with parents in California and Texas, kids with special needs, to make sure that they know that they're with the appropriate school officials so that they get the accommodations to their children in the school year based on their IEPs, individual education plans. So we've been coordinating with these parents to get the information they needed to attend the IEP meetings their school was providing. And once we know the school is willing to provide the IEP meetings, we're then able to assess whether we have to go even further or whether it was just the school wasn't planning. Again, let me use this example, okay, just so you understand what I just said. For these special needs students in California and Texas, this just came from one of our attorneys reported this, Shahriar Gill. They were having trouble because the school was providing nothing about what they were going to do for the students that had these individual education plans, which they're guaranteed to have for free at public schools. So we went to the schools and said, what are you going to be doing about this? You know what the school said immediately? First, we're going to have a meeting for the parents. So we are going to, we're sorry we didn't get the information. We were wrong. So we're going to have a meeting. So we're going to see what the outcome is of that meeting. And if they come up with the right plan,
yep,
then those parents have been satisfied and the needs of their children who need those individual education plans have been satisfied. If after that meeting they have not, we'll assess whether we take the additional step. So you see, we've already moved the ball there like 10 steps forward because the school wasn't even thinking about those, which is
and that's
sad.
Why we're trying to work with them. They're under a lot of pressure too. We know that.
But those special needs students,
totally aware of that,
that are being forgotten about in too many places, and also don't like the students who maybe have like a
disability or learning disability,
or just blind. So have nothing is wrong with their learning ability, and yet they're not being provided the right learning opportunities. So, in fact, one of ours, the only opportunity they have is trade. And they'd have to leave home to do it. So it's not so. And this was somebody who was on track to attend a top 4-year university. That's how good they were.
Okay, so that's academically. That's why. Let me tell you something. That's why you're supporting the AC. These cases really do make a difference to individuals, to men and women, sometimes single parents who have kids in need. And this has to be kid focused. Jordan said this at the beginning. Logan said it. Andy said it. And Thana said it. Focus on the children, no one else. That's who needs to be focused on here. Now, Than, quickly, what in Washington is happening? There's some movement on some of these school bills. What's happening right now?
Yeah, it actually goes hand in hand with what you just said about the goal being to get real solutions to real problems facing real students and to do it fast because school is starting. Jay, the new stimulus package that's being debated on and that is stalled out, there has been a lot of momentum behind what we have called for, which is increasing flexibility for the dollars that come from the federal government. Right now, it would be about $105 billion. And to get it to flow to students rather than school districts, because many of them are shut down. And just quickly, I'll say this too, Jay. I am the parent of a child with an IEP, individual educational plans. The ability to provide individualized assistance to those families, I cannot tell you, Jay, how huge that is, because a disruption in a schedule and in a school plan for a student like that, and if you are not able to get an individual accommodation, Jay, that's the difference for that child getting an education this year and not. It's that simple. It's not a diminished education. If you cannot provide an individualized program for that child, they will not be serviced this year. Jay, that assistance is absolutely enormous. I know firsthand.
And I want people to know that because a lot of the schools are just starting. I mean, this is just starting. And so if you've got a hardship, we're becoming the experts on this and handling this for parents. Go to aclj.org/help. It doesn't cost you a thing to fill out the contact form. You'll be contacted by an ACLJ attorney. Likely they'll need some more information from you. You can do that again online. We've got this special form we've prepared based on kind of like what hardship are you facing so that we know which attorney to assign you to. Because Dad, just in Georgia alone, in Gwinnett County, we are representing 10 parents with special needs children. In Paulding County, we're representing requesting laptops for a single mom of 3 kids. This is just in Georgia. In Cobb County, we're working on behalf of 10 parents with special needs children to get the IEP programs. And the Atlanta Public School System, on behalf of 2 parents with special needs children and 1 parent who needs laptops for that child. That is just in the state of Georgia right now.
Yep. Andy, last thing, 15 seconds. Your overall impression of, could Sally Yates be Joe Biden's nominee for Attorney General?
Yes, I think she is, and I think she did her interview on national television last night, and I'm sure she pleased the Democratic Party, and I'm sure she pleased Biden with her unlawful and ridiculous attacks on the president, her false statements and her false narratives, but she's in line to be a star among the Democrats.
All right, that does it.
Gotta
for the
ask though, how many more Islamic extremists are going
to
show up at the DNC?
We like didn't even
Linda,
talk to that.
Like Linda Sarsour, they didn't put her on camera, but she showed up as at the convention. You know, they're doing
that
official business. She had to quit the Women's March because of her anti-Semitism and ties to terror. That's the Democrat Party of 2020.
Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org and our matching challenge campaign. Have a great day.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.